fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. And God's people said together, Amen and Amen. Please be seated. Should not be blamed on parents, and the sins of congregation members shouldn't be blamed on churches. If a church puts up a stumbling block, if a church were to teach some heretical doctrine and then people followed it, the church would be guilty of teaching error. If people follow it, they are responsible for what they do. So the issue is, with respect to children and parents, is a child wayward in spite of, humanly speaking, in spite of parental nurture because of it? Second, is it good doctrine doesn't ensure good living? I want to deal with that next week. Orthodoxy, straight teaching, never assures orthopraxis. And I'm sorry to say, there's a lot of people who really think, if you've got the Reformed faith in your head, you're going to be holy. Hello, the devil believes. You believe there's one God, you do well. The demons also believe and they tremble, but they're not saved creatures. Okay, so the fact that this fellow was in an Orthodox church doesn't mean his life would be Orthodox. And then finally, main point I wanted to make, there is no place for anti-Semitism, white supremacy, or white nationalism in the Church of Jesus Christ. Racism is a heresy, period. It's a denial of the doctrine of creation. God has made of one blood all the nations and has before ordained the boundaries of their habitation. Doesn't mean that they can't move. What that means, God is sovereign over them. They all come from one parent. You go all the way back, and that black neighbor of yours, that Asian friend of yours, that's your brother or sister. You go all the way back to Adam and Eve. Those would be the great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandparents. And it's no coincidence that the evangelical church today waffles a lot on the doctrine of creation. No wonder you're going to have weakness in this area. Okay, so, now here's the question. Why the increased violence in our society? Why the increased violence in our society? Now, brothers and sisters, these issues, they're not going to be away from us until Christ comes back. It's only then you're going to see all racism taken away, all anti-Semitism taken away. The Lord's going to deal with level away, only vile violence taken away. So let's not expect we're going to have new heavens and the new earth this side of heaven and earth, but still you hope there's going to be change. And that's the reason why we are constantly praying for the Lord's grace and His mercy to change people, and why we pray, Lord Jesus, come quickly. All right. Why the increased violence in our society? I'm going to answer that in two ways. Number one, I'm not convinced there is. The studies show, what you want to believe with statistics, and of course you got Mark Twain's statement, there's lies, he said there's lies, damn lies in statistics. But make what you will of the statistics. The crime level in the United States is down. And around the world, by and large, insofar as tribal warfare and everything else, it's not as bad as it has been. It doesn't mean it can't get worse. But you folks be very, very careful about the media always telling you what it thinks is going on in the world. We're more aware of things. My, if there was a shooting in California a minute ago, you'd be getting pings on your phone telling you about it right now. So we're more aware of these things. I'm not convinced there really is more. But let's grant for a moment if there is increased violence in our society. I mean, shooting in a synagogue, shooting in churches. Number one, I think you have to agree that to some extent, God's hand is being lifted, His hand of restraint is being lifted. I'm not going to talk about other countries, that's too broad, but is being lifted to some extent from our country. You can't get over that. Romans 1, scary words, He gave them up. He gave them up. He gave them up. And Jonathan Edwards' line, if God should let you go, you would immediately. So there is not only God's grace actually changes people and makes them new creatures, but God's grace also restrains iniquity. And that hand, it does seem, is being to some extent taken away. And 2 Thessalonians 2, The Thessalonians were up in northern Greece. They were kind of the model Christian congregation, and they turned from idols to serve the living and true God. And everybody's fascinated when Paul writes to them about the man of lawlessness who will be revealed at the last day. And then he says, you know what restrains him now. And all the commentators say, they may have known it, but we don't know what's restraining him now. There's different views. Is it the Holy Spirit? Is it government? Is it something else? I do think there it is government. I think that and you could make a case it's the Holy Spirit too, but that government restrains. And you know, folks, the tyranny is an awful kind of government. But anarchy's worse. Okay, so anyway, that's part of it in here. And that's why we pray. We pray for the nation. We might live peaceable and godly lives. Okay, second, why the increased violence in our society, if I grant it? There is a tremendous, and I'm going to get to why I believe this is the case in a bit. There's a tremendous loss of civility in public discourse and debate. Jesus, you listen to, well, it's both sides, right and left in the United States. There is a hatred of the other side that exudes. And Jesus had some pretty strong words about anger. He said, it's just like murder. And you see that loss of civility in public discourse and debate. James says, with our tongues, we bless God and we curse men who are made in the similitude of God. And there's an awful lot of cursing of men in our culture today. Jude 8, Michael, the archangel, didn't bring a reviling accusation against the devil. But he said, the Lord rebuke you. Even the devil was to be respected as an authority. Not abided by, not agreed with, battled with. But you don't revile him. And in the Old Testament, the reviling of those in authority, cursing father and mother, and reviling the leaders of your people, that was punishable by death, folks. I know we don't live in the old covenant structure, but that's how serious respect for authority is. And I am convinced, you know, our greatest sin in the culture is this respect for the sacred. It's this respect for the Lord's Day, this respect for God, this respect for authority, this respect for parents. Okay, so if there is that increased violence, no doubt it goes back to part to that. And then connected with it, the desensitizing effects of many aspects, I'm going to call it the electronic or virtual world. And I think this is what we're going to be chatting about with your daughter on Wednesday night. Even neuroscience is showing that brain furrows are formed by what people watch and do over time. It will make people more prone to pornography or violence. And I'm not against video games. They can be a means of diversion. But folks, something's got to happen after a while. If for hours on end, by the push of a button, you can destroy your enemy to smithereens. Okay, so again, that doesn't mean these things are wrong. As I said last week, we're not to be conformed to this world. We're constantly being discerning about all these things that we do. And as I mentioned, it bears repeating here, if no corrupt communication is to proceed from our mouths, but only what is good for edifying, then what comes forth from our computers better be exactly the same. Now, you want something that will constantly make you exercise yourself. That'll do it. I gathered information from white nationalist websites. I felt like I needed to take a bath when I got done doing it. You got to be discerning, but so doesn't mean don't use it. But don't be conformed to this age and be careful with no corrupt communication and proceed from your mouth. And all of this is fueled by a very feeling-oriented culture. but I don't feel as if what I'm doing is wrong. I'm sorry, desensitized people don't feel like what they're doing is wrong. A lady that we have an acquaintance with works in, I guess, Randall's Island, with the worst of the worst of insane people in New York. She one of her patients is the man that was the model for the lead character in The Silence of the Lambs. He's a cannibal, and he has to be restrained even now or medicated. And she said, this man is so desensitized, you let him out, he'll do the same thing. So there is that effect in our own culture, a feeling-oriented culture. And here, brothers and sisters, balance, okay? Presbyterians have been criticized for being too cerebral, okay? We say worship, not just a feeling of my whole body. Okay, all right. Folks, we can be too cerebral. People can be too feeling-oriented, too. And properly, the mind needs to lead the feelings. Okay, doesn't Paul say be transformed by the renewing of your feelings? It says be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Okay, so this, and I want to give the time for it. There's two other things I would say. Why the loss of violence in our society? The decline in the emphasis on the moral law. When one of the leading evangelical spokesmen, the son of Charles Andrew Stanley, writes a book in which he wickedly says that the law has no more application to people. It doesn't make any difference what kind of an evangelical preacher he is. He needs to read his Bible, in which it says the Holy Spirit writes his law on our hearts. And it's not just the sixth commandment, you shall not kill, that's violated in our culture. I mean, in the name of God, the first commandment, having many other gods before us, like Athens did, will worship. Most churches make up the way they want to do worship today. Second commandment, taking God's name in vain. I mean, frankly, I wasn't brought up in a committed Christian household. If I had said, as a common expression, oh my God, my mom would have washed my mouth out with soap. You don't say things like the Sabbath, the Lord's Day. It is His day. Respect for authority, adultery, fornication, seventh commandment, eighth commandment, stealing, which is done in so many different ways. Ninth commandment, lying, bearing false witness, covet. Hello? So see, it's not just violence, but the decline in the emphasis on the moral law overall. And the last is this, and then I want your questions. I'm going to throw this out just for you to think about. One of the reasons I am convinced there's an increased level of violence. Here's what I think of. Young people who will kill another young person to get his or her sneakers. It just blows my mind. It's because of a counterfeit doctrine of origins and humanity. Now, what do I mean by that? Darwinian evolution. Folks, that's not science. That's a faith commitment. Why do I say that? No one was here to see a Big Bang. You can't prove it. You can't prove it in a laboratory. Science, you have to be able to duplicate it. Reproduce it in a laboratory. You can't reproduce a Big Bang. Nor was anyone around when these things supposedly evolved from simple organisms to complex organisms, let alone the logical fallacy of that. That's a faith commitment. And it needs to be understood as such, so that in the public schools, yes, certainly teach evolution. Teach it as a faith commitment. And teach creation as a faith commitment too, and be honest. But why is this important? If the governing view of a society, and I'm not convinced that Darwinianism is, but at least in the scientific community it is. You go on the popular level, most people don't believe it. But But on the scientific level, we're just evolved carbon, folks. And we may be a little bit higher on the evolutionary chain. But for all we know, dolphins may be a little bit better than we are. And at the end of the day, if you really want to have progress in society, and we need to be honest about this according to sophisticates in the medical community, Darwin's right. You let the fit survive. Which means, why do you take care of the elderly? And so what if you let deformed children die? Now, when you have one of the leading professors of ethics, no less, at Princeton University, Peter Singer, teaching that you shouldn't regard a child as viable until a month after he or she is born. And you take a month to see if you think that child is going to have some health issues. And if the child's going to have health issues, you should be free to let that child expire. That is one step away from Nazism. The most avid and rabid and effective proponent of Darwinism in the 20th century was Adolf Hitler. And he passionately believed that only the Aryan race was the most evolved race, and we could help all of the world if we exterminated all competitors, like the Poles, and like the Jews, and like the Russians. And Christians need to start saying this. Does that mean all proponents of evolution are Marxists or are Nazis? No, it does not. But we better start building on what C.S. Lewis and others saw when they saw this coming 75 years ago. Ideas, folks, have consequences. And if you believe that a human being is just a more or less evolved blob of protoplasm, that's the way you're going to treat it. Just let me read this, and then your questions. And I'm going to let my SBS. This is a fascinating study by Jerry Bergman, Hitler and the Nazi Darwinian worldview, and I just this was written by a behavioral scientist of Hitler's day, Nobel laureate, Konrad Lorenz, a dedicated Nazi, and one of the most eminent animal behavior scientists of his time, and often credited as being the founder of his field, animal behavior science. This is what he wrote: just as in cancer, the best treatment is to eradicate the parasitic growth as quickly as possible, the eugenic defense against the eugenics is basically doing away with people whose genetic makeup is inferior. The eugenic defense against the dysgenic social effects of afflicted subpopulations, like Jews for them, or Poles, is of necessity limited to drastic measures. When these inferior elements, again, Jews, Poles, Ukrainians, Russians, are not effectively eliminated from a healthy population, then, just as when the cells of a malignant tumor are allowed to proliferate throughout the human body, they destroy the host body as well as themselves. You know what he's saying? There's these social cancers. Fill in the blanks. Blacks, whites, Asians, Jews. And if you think they're inferior, they're like malignant cancers in your body. What do you do with them? Destroy them. So I submit to you, those are just some thoughts about why, if there is increased violence in our culture, what's the remedy? Creation, redemption, consummation. People are made in God's image. He redeems us. We're family. We learned about that. And consummation is glory. Christians are meant to bring not a little bit of hell to earth, but a bit of heaven to it. Okay, your questions, comments. Jim. Yeah, that's right. And if it's abetted by a view in preaching that there are no consequences for sin, yeah, it's a sort of a salt losing its savor. Right? Yeah. Iris?
Also, our schools are indoctrinating children, really starting at a young age.
Keith, that's just what we were chatting about a little bit before. Yeah.
You know, like things that used to, for me, when I was going to school, be appalling. I hear even, you know, my own kids sometimes talk to me and
Christian schools or homeschools, or even for that matter, working in the public schools as we did in high school. I mean, we made it clear to teachers, you want to teach evolution as a theory, we have no problem. You teach as a fact, I'm going to be in your office. I'm going to be in your talking with you, lovingly and graciously. So, yeah, okay. Other questions, comments? Okay. Yeah, Gene. That's it, not like him, and you believe you're superior to the others. Bad stuff. Let me leave you with this encouragement. Jesus said, greater is he who is in the world than me. Right?
No.
Greater is he who is in the world, the devil, than me, Christ. Is that right? Dead wrong. Jesus is still greater than the devil himself. And here, this is part of your encouragement. Not only that the Lord can answer prayer in a moment, history, folks, is a pendulum. It can only go so far, and we're going in one direction. It can only go so far, and then it'll change. Doesn't necessarily mean people become Christians, but there will be change. But the Lord Jesus is greater, and he will get the victory. Okay, our thanks, Timothy and John. What have you got for us? Sandwiches, Timothy, you said? Oh, man, a bunch of stuff. We're going to go see it, and well, Tammy's down. But many thanks for the Haven food and fellowship. Let's stand together, and let's pray. Our God, we pray for our culture. And our Lord, we ask that you will make your people to be salt and light. Lord, you wouldn't look first at our culture and point your finger at it. You'd look at your people and say, has the salt lost its savor? Has the light become darkness? And so, Lord, let the light that is in us be light, the salt that is in us be salty, so that we can be preservatives against the rot in our culture. And Lord, please don't let us give in to carnal anger or hatred toward anyone, seeing people who commit particular sins as the enemy. They're not. They're people that need to be rescued. And our God, give us. We're going to go back to this over and over again. May we be transformed by the renewing of our minds every day, thinking Christ's thoughts after him. And give us, we pray, that high view of creation, that whether a person is black or white or Asian or male or female or Jewish or Gentile, or whatever it would be, these, first of all, are people made in God's image. And we honor that and respect that and are thankful for that. May we love people as people. And then, Lord, in redemption, please work in your churches so that they're not white supremacists or anti, that they're followers of Christ in which all of your people of every tongue and tribe and nation come together at the foot of the cross as brothers and sisters in Christ. Lord, impress upon your churches, if they focus on the gospel, they can do what the United Nations never can do. And then, our Lord, we ask that as those in whom the Spirit dwells, will you give us a down payment of heaven? May that love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control are all the marks of glory. May they be in us, so that when the world that is surrounded by all of its hellishness sees us, may it see something of the glory of heaven itself. Thank you for the food that's before us, those that have prepared it. And now, our Lord, may we, will you bless our communion, realizing that you're using Tammy and Noah and Bailey and others as your own hands to serve us, and knowing, our Lord, that when we fellowship with one another, we're fellowshipping with Christ, in whom we pray. Amen. Take some time to get to know Caroline, if you haven't met her already, okay? And